live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 30th day of July, 2025. Before I introduce my two guests and our topic of the day, I just want to remind you, please mark your calendars for this Friday, August 1st, when I will be interviewing Phil Johnson, the executive director for the media ministry of the late John MacArthur. We are going to be paying tribute to John MacArthur in loving memory of a champion for truth in the 20th and 21st centuries. Joining us will be Dr. Doug McMasters, the pastor of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island, who was at one time the director of pastoral correspondence for John MacArthur's media ministry, Grace to You. And also joining us is a longtime friend and former frequent co-host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio back in the old days when I was broadcasting out of WNYG Radio, 1440 AM in Babylon, Long Island, New York, Jim Capo, who is the former pastor of the Massapequa Church of God. So please make sure you mark your calendars for this Friday, August 1st, for our special tribute in loving memory of John MacArthur. But today I am very excited to have both a returning guest and a first-time guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. The first-time guest is Ryan Franchuk, pastor and outreach team leader at River Community Church in Del Rapids, South Dakota, and director of Timothy Pastoral Apprenticeship. And also joining us will be a returning guest, Pastor Jason Contino of Harborview Christian Church of Port Jefferson, Long Island, New York, and a board member and pastoral mentor with Timothy Pastoral Apprenticeship. They're both going to be addressing preparing men for pastoral ministry and church planting. And first of all, let me welcome you to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for the very first time, Pastor Ryan Franchuk.
Thanks, Chris. Great to be here.
And let me welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Jason Contino.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Well, let me first of all have Pastor Ryan give a brief description of River Community Church in Del Rapids, South Dakota.
Sure. River Community Church was planted, I believe, about 17 years ago now, maybe 18 years ago, by my good friend, Pastor Andy Wright, which was kind of his first major ministry project coming out of seminary. And so this is a Baptist church that's in the small town of Del Rapids, South Dakota, about 3,500 people. And we're a congregation of, I don't know, 120, 130 on a Sunday morning. And we really seek to make God's glory known and felt through worship, outreach, growth, and love. And I've been a pastor on staff here for about 8 years, I believe. Before that, I had been commissioned by River Community Church to plant a church in nearby Baltic, South Dakota, which is where my family and I live. currently, which is only about 6 miles down the road from Del Rapids. And so I served that church plant for 8 or 9 years, and then we closed the doors of that church plant, and I then came on the pastoral staff of RCC. I like to say we kind of merged back into the mothership, so to speak. And
I hope Louis Farrakhan is not on the pastoral team there.
Yeah, so some of the folks that were part of our church plant, they're River Community Church is their home church too, and we still try to have a significant ministry presence in Baltic, South Dakota, where I live.
Now, what would be the theological makeup of River Community Church?
We belong to what's called the North American Baptist Conference of Churches, which is a small denomination of Baptists that was started in the 1800s by primarily German immigrants that came into the country through New York and then spread across the country and across Canada. And so we're essentially conservative evangelical Baptist denomination. And so that really defines who we are too. In terms of sort of more distinctives theologically, River Community Church we as pastors and elders are primarily, Calvinistic in our soteriology. We hold very strongly to the sovereignty of God and at the same time, the responsibility of human beings to repent and believe the gospel. We're also, you might say complementarian, in that we see that God has distinct roles for men and women in the church and family life. And so we practice that at River Community Church, and we love expositional preaching and teaching of the Bible. We love kids and try our best to minister to them and to their families as well as we might. And other than that, we're pretty easygoing, honestly.
How could you be Calvinistic and easygoing? Those two things don't coincide.
Well, we've got folks that, I wouldn't say we ever shy away from those doctrines, and even love to celebrate them in our preaching and teaching. But we do have dear friends and members and partners in ministry who wouldn't maybe see eye to eye on the pastoral staff here on that question in particular. But
yet.
That could be.
Well, if anybody wants more details on River Community Church, and that church is located where again? I'm sorry.
That's Del Rapids, South Dakota.
That's right. Del Rapids, South Dakota. Go to rccdells.com, rccdells.com. And now, Pastor Jason Contino, tell our listeners something about Harborview Christian Church in Port Jefferson, Long Island, New York.
Harborview is located in, as you like to say, Chris, one of the most beautiful villages in the country, Port Jefferson.
That is true. It's not even hyperbole. It's very true.
Yeah, Harbor Village, little port village. Our church is 170 years old. It was planted by Island Christian Church in 2011. Island Christian Church, a larger non-denominational Baptistic church. And I was saved under the ministry of Pastor Pete Jansen, around 2020, we were becoming a little bit more Calvinistic, a little bit more Reformed. I was an elder at the time, and we became independent of Island Christian Church and changed our name to Harborview Christian Church. In God's providence, as an elder at Harborview Christian Church, working as a detective for the Nassau County Police Department, I had a fraud case which tied me to a phone conversation with the pastors of River Community Church in Del Rapids, South Dakota, as a check that was mailed to, I believe, Ryan, correct me if I'm wrong, a widow of a retired pastor who had passed away, and the check was stolen in the mail. The routing number was used in a fraud case in New York, which I was the investigating detective. This phone conversation, Chris, led me to speaking to these men and realizing that they had a pastoral apprenticeship program that at some point in the future I might be interested in. And as I wrapped up my career and was retiring, under Pete's direction, I contacted Ryan and his partner Andy and found out about the Timothy Pastoral Apprenticeship. Did a 3-year program with that, and in the interim, got ordained. Pastor Pete retired, and I took over. So Harborview Christian Church is a non-denominational, Credo Baptist church in a Reformed tradition, is the way I would describe us.
Amen. And not only is your connection with Ryan Franchuk clearly an example of God's unexpected providence, the friendship that you and I have is also the result of that. For those of our listeners who are not aware of this, I just happened to one day feeling very nostalgic about my late wife, Julie, who I miss dearly, happened to post on Facebook a photograph of the old Amato's Italian restaurant in Amityville, Long Island, where I used to live. That restaurant no longer exists. I believe the building does, and is completely remodeled and looks different than it used to. But I posted that photo of Amato's Italian restaurant because it was the location of the very first date I had with my late wife during a snowstorm, which caused my late wife's pastor to cancel a Bible study that I was attending. And we had our first date there. And then later on in our relationship, that was the location where I gave her an engagement ring. But I was looking at responses on Facebook to this photograph, and Pastor Jason Contino said, "My grandparents owned Amato's." And he also said, "And by the way, I'm coming to your pastor's luncheon." So that's how I first became aware of Jason, and also how I first met him face to face at the luncheon. So it has been an honor, a privilege, and a joy getting to know you, brother.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, God's providence is all around us.
Well, before we have Ryan, since he's a first-time guest, give a summary of his salvation testimony, Ryan, why don't you give us a summary of the Trinity Pastoral Apprenticeship Program? Oh, by the way, I can't remember right now if I gave the website for Harborview Christian Church, harborviewchristian.church, harborviewchristian.church. Sorry if I omitted that. But Ryan, tell us about, give us a summary of the pastoral apprenticeship, the Timothy Pastoral Apprenticeship.
Yeah, the Timothy Pastoral Apprenticeship is a radically church-centered theological and ministry training program that aims to raise up men for vocational ministry, for pastoral ministry in the context of the local church, and to do it in such a way that apprenticeship and academics both are an integral part of the guy's experience. And we're also trying to take away as many hurdles as possible from guys that that might feel and sense they need to be trained in a specific way and get that training before they would be launched into pastoral ministry. But perhaps they have a number of roadblocks in the way. Perhaps they see obstacles that are that would prevent them from pursuing that, perhaps in the normal or traditional way that men have sought to get that training in the U.S. in the past. You know, by getting a bachelor's degree, and then maybe by going to seminary, and then maybe by pursuing ordination in their family of churches, and maybe that's just not feasible for them for whatever station of life they're in or whatnot. And we are trying to take away as many hurdles as possible financially and flexibility wise and otherwise, so that we can just see more and more faithful men who love God's word, who love Jesus Christ, who love the gospel, who love God's people, who love the lost, raised up to serve churches and church plants and to see churches revitalized and to do that as quickly and cheaply as possible.
Amen. Well, if anybody wants more details, the website of the Timothy Pastoral Apprenticeship is thetpa.info, thetpa.info, and we'll be repeating that later on as well. Well, as I just mentioned, whenever we have a first-time guest in the program, we have them provide for us a summary of their salvation testimony that would include a description of how they were raised, the religious atmosphere, if any, in which they were raised, and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives to draw them to himself and save them. So we'd love to hear your story, since you are a first-time guest, unlike Pastor Jason Contino, who's been on the program before.
Sure. I lived the first 9 years of my life in Auburn, Washington, where my father pastored a small church plant there. And I remember I traced my conversion back to the day after Christmas, 1984, when I was, I guess I would have been about 6 years old then. And I had been speaking with my mom, my dad, and my grandmother about the things of the Lord and about I think we probably phrased it asking Jesus into your heart and having a relationship with Christ and being saved from sin. And so I remember the day after Christmas, I remember kneeling by my bed and praying to the Lord and asking Jesus to save me. And so I really traced my conversion to that moment. And then as I grew older and lived life with my mom and dad, as my dad was serving as a pastor, we moved to North Dakota when I was 9 years old, I believe. And my dad served a church in North Dakota for 3 years after that. And so I that's really where both of my childhood was spent. And I'm so grateful to God for giving me a mom and a dad who loved the Lord, who loved the Lord still, and sought to honor him and serve him and to teach me his ways and to show that the Bible was the most important source of data that I could possibly have, and that to love Jesus Christ was an active thing that didn't just stay in the head, but it was lived out in one's whole life. And I remember my dad had the church building of the church that he served was right next door to the parsonage that we lived in. And yeah, my dad had an office in that building. And I remember being a young guy, being a kid, and just loving to wander over there and hang out with my dad in his office and ask him questions and talk about life and talk about spiritual things. And I can even remember being a teenager and asking some of the, you know, vexing questions of Christianity of him, things like predestination and other things. And he was always so gracious and would kind of fill me in with lots of different views and just kept telling me it's really about what God's word says. It's really about what the Bible says, and not just having a theological career, though that's important. But urge me to search the scriptures. And so I'm grateful to the Lord for that experience in my life from my mom and my dad. And grateful that, I kind of have what you might call a boring testimony, so to speak, in that I didn't really have any wild periods of wandering or profligate behavior or anything like that. It's just sort of been a long walking with the Lord that by his grace he's kept me in, and I'm most really grateful for that.
Well, I've been asking people for their testimonies for a long time, and I am never bored to hear that God has preserved someone from their childhood through adulthood from wandering into scandalous, wicked behavior. Of course, without the blood of Christ, even the most moral of children raised in a Christian home are still headed for hell if they are not saved, if they are not regenerate. But at the same time, it's always a joy to hear that God sees fit on occasion to spare many of his children from ever having to experience the darker side of life. And so I am rejoicing that you are one of those children that he spared from ever going through that journey into overt wickedness.
Amen.
And I'm going to give our listeners our email address if they have a question. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. We're going to go to our first commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be diving into the main theme of our program today, and that is training men for pastoral ministry and church planting. And if you are a young man yourself, perhaps, either one who is beginning for the first time to believe he has a calling upon his life to enter into pastoral ministry, or perhaps you're a new pastor and you're starting to think that you're over your head, or you're starting to wonder if you truly have been given a call by God, or whatever the case may be, we would love to hear from you at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. You may remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. So don't go away. We are going to be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
White here of Alpha and Omega Ministries, announcing that this September, I'm heading out to Pennsylvania to speak at two events that my longtime friend Chris Arnson has lined up for me. On Thursday, September 18th at 11 a.m., I'm speaking to men in ministry leadership at Chris's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon at Church of the Living Christ in Louisville. Then, on Sunday, September 21st, at 1:30 p.m., I'm speaking at Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle on the theme, Can We Trust the Bible is the Authentic and Inerrant Word of God? I hope you can join Chris and me for both events. For more details on the free pastor's luncheon, visit ironsharpensironradio.com. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. For more details on Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, visit trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, I'll see you in September in Pennsylvania for these exciting events.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency, and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
CEO and President of Lebanon Folk Credit Union, and we're excited to be part of the Iron Sharpens Iron radio family. At Lebanon Folk Credit Union, we're proud to serve the community with 6 convenient locations across Lebanon County, Pennsylvania, and we're growing. We offer competitive rates on everything from loans to savings, and we're dedicated to providing top-notch member service. We pride ourselves on the credit union movement of people helping people. We are deeply involved in our community, supporting local events and organizations that help make a difference. When you join Lebanon Folk Credit Union, you'll immediately notice the difference. Our focus on meeting your financial needs with personal care and a friendly touch. LFCU can also offer you better rates and lower fees than our competitors. To find out more, please visit us online at lebanonfcu.org. Membership eligibility is required. Federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration. Terms and conditions apply.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers morning meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning in to Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in His sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com will enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, CVBBS.com is now shipping worldwide.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And I am honored so much that RoyalDiadem.com loves Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so highly and deeply that not only do they provide us with monthly financial support automatically, on top of that, they give us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to one of our listeners, as long as that listener mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when purchasing their jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com. So whether you're purchasing jewelry that they already have in stock, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created for yourself or someone you love, either way, mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and we will get 100% of the profits from that sale. So if you love this program and you're also in the market to purchase a gorgeous, breathtaking, head-turning piece of jewelry, kill two birds with one stone and purchase from RoyalDiadem.com so that we get 100% of the profits from the sale, which enables us to continue to exist. That's RoyalDiadem.com. Mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Ryan Franchuk, and Jason Contino, and we are addressing the Timothy Pastoral Apprenticeship Program. And Ryan, if you could, what is the typical experience of a candidate and somebody who registers to be involved in your program? And to begin with, how do they even usually find out about it?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of one of two ways. One, as the program has kind of just slowly grown over the years, one of the ways that God uses to bring new students in the program is a lot of times there's a church and a pastor or pastors that we already kind of really have a lot of affinity with. They're in our spheres, so to speak, in our circles, and they maybe have a man or men that sense a desire to be trained for pastoral ministry, but maybe the traditional track just really isn't what's kind of floating their boat. And so, and they maybe know about the TBA and they say, what's to prevent us from being a part of this? Could we be a TPA partner church and be the mentoring church for this man or these men during their time in the program? And so that's kind of the most organic and natural way that it happens. Other times, men that are searching out training for pastoral ministry in kind of this non-traditional sense or mold, Google for pastoral apprenticeships, or I'm not sure exactly what they Google for, maybe, but they find the TPA on the internet, and they get a hold of us sort of cold turkey, and by registering an inquiry through the TPA's website inquiry form, and they say, hey, I'm so and so from such and such a place, and I'm just really sensing that I want to be trained to be a pastor in the kind of mold that you're describing. What do I do? What can we kind of kick the ball down the road here? And that opens up a conversation with them. We try to get to know them as best we can, from a distance, often is the case, and, just kind of get a sense for God's call in their life and their church scene. And, if the TBA is really going to be a great fit for them or not. And sometimes, some of those men have actually moved and relocated to be mentored in one of the churches in the TPA church network. And that's happened a few times, in our, I guess about 12 or 13 year history now. But more often than not, it happens kind of organically where, like I described, there's a church or a pastor or a student, prospective student who's kind of already aware of the TPA just through our relational connections. We're a small network of churches. We have 18 churches that are formally part of the TPA network. Those churches are primarily in North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, and New York, on Long Island now, and Washington. And so, it's just sort of this organic circle of relationships that God just seems to grow slowly but surely over the years. So. That's how it happens. In terms of what the experience is like, we really envision the TPA program as a three-year program, roughly analogous to a Master of Divinity degree, where the program is comprised of two things. Number one is an apprenticeship component. And so that's where a student in the TPA has a mentoring church and a mentoring pastor. And that student is expected to be as involved in the life of that church on a day-to-day basis as possible, and to get his hands dirty with the stuff of pastoral ministry under the watchful care of a mentor pastor and the leadership of the church and really the whole church. And so that means in a guy's experience in the apprenticeship component of the TPA, we expect that he'll be meeting with his mentor pastor at least once a week for kind of mutual discipleship and ministry discussion and theology breeze shoots and all those sorts of things, as well as when his mentor pastor does something, the expectation is and hope is that he would then invite his student along and say, hey, I've got to go visit so-and-so in the hospital today. I'd love for you to come with me, and I want you to watch what I'm doing. I want you to observe how, you know, what my demeanor is like, the sort of scriptures that I read. And then the next time I'm going to have you come with me too, and I'm going to ask you to read scripture and come prepared to minister to this person or this family, who's in this really vulnerable place in life. Or perhaps, you know, a pastor might have a couple coming in for premarital counseling, and the expectation and hope in the TPA apprenticeship would be that that pastor would say to his student, you know, I've got this couple coming in for premarital counseling. I'd love for you to, if this couple is open to that, I'd love for you to sit in and just observe and watch and see how I go about this ministry if we're trying to help this couple get ready for biblical marriage. And so the apprenticeship component, really, from the TPA side of things, we don't direct a lot of that from the top down, because each church and each pastor and each student are kind of unique and individual and have varying contexts and needs. And so we let a lot of the apprenticeship component be directed on a week-to-week, month-to-month basis by the mentor pastor and the student in dialogue, and also in dialogue with their leadership of the church. And so some of our students really work a lot with youth, and that's maybe the primary locus of their experience in the apprenticeship. But at the same time, we're hoping that they would also be able to get a feel for what pastoral ministry is like in other respects as well. Some of our guys are oriented more toward worship or worship leading. Others are really wanting to get the solo pastor or lead pastor experience under their belt. And so it kind of depends on what the context of the church is like and what the desires of the student are like. And so that's approximately one half of the program is this apprenticeship. Getting your hands dirty in the day-to-day, week-to-week stuff of pastoral ministry, learning how to, what the physical mechanics of baptizing somebody are, what it's like to preach your first sermon, what it's like to teach a Sunday school class, how you help a group of, crazy 6 and 7 year olds get a grip on stories from the scriptures and the love of Jesus and the gospel, all under the, like I said, the watchful care of a mentor pastor. The other half of the program approximately is an academic component that is a 60-credit curriculum that consists of 9 core classes that are taught on a trimester system. And so we offer 3 classes a year that meet for 14 weeks at a time. We have 14-week trimesters. Currently, our preferred day and time is Tuesday nights from 7 to 10 p.m. Central Time, again, for 14 weeks at a time. And those classes are taught by men who are mentor pastors in the TPA program, who have been charged to prepare for this class and be as expert as they can be in that field, and to teach them this cohort, this group of TPA students, that material, and to lead the class that way. So that curriculum is, again, similar to what you'd expect somebody might experience in an MDiv program. So men take systematic theology 1 and 2. They take preaching 1 and 2, which is a sermon composition and then a preaching lab class. They take biblical interpretation and Greek and Hebrew and church history and Old Testament and New Testament. The bulk of the rest of the academic work is made up by self-study style elective classes that can look a number of different ways. But often that's if a guy, say, in his apprenticeship, maybe he knows he's going to be teaching through the book of Galatians in an adult Sunday school class this fall semester in his church, in his mentor church. We would say to that guy, to get some elective credits, since you're already doing that work, and already learning it on the job, so to speak, why don't we come up with a syllabus for you for that? That would be, a 3-credit, for example, 3-credit syllabus for this to be an elective class. And we'll say, here are some commentaries that we expect you to read and digest in your preparation. And we're looking to see that you're preparing sound biblical lessons and thinking through how you're going to go about teaching this, and then and looking for a report on how it's went, that kind of stuff. And so we love to sort of piggyback the academic electives with things that students are already doing in their apprenticeship component, so that there's kind of a minimum of academic work that's unconnected from their day-to-day or week-to-week ministry life. Though we're also happy to come up with syllabi for elective classes that maybe aren't necessarily related to what they're doing. I mean, some guys want to do, you know, want to do a deep dive on the theology of Jonathan Edwards or you know, go deeper in biblical preaching or something like that. In that case, you know, there's so much world-class theological training lectures that are available online for free through the unbelievable work of outfits like biblicaltraining.org, which make entire seminary level classes of the lecture components of those free for all comers. Whoever would like to listen to those can. We love to take those sorts of things and couple them, pair them with about 1,000 pages of scholarly literature on that topic, and prescribe a few papers, and then kind of have Guy work through an elective class with those lectures as the source of the teaching that's coming from that. So, so you may get the sense that we're pretty flexible in how electives in particular work out, and that's true. We love to say that one of the beauteous parts of the TPA is flexibility. We want to be adaptable and hope men get the training that they need and want, with a minimum of overhead and difficulty.
Pastor Jason, you already told us how you discovered the Timothy apprenticeship program, pastoral apprenticeship program. Please give us a step-by-step account in detail of your experiences of when you started to stick your toe in the water and then plunge in, and how you eventually even became raised up to the point of being a mentor yourself.
Yeah, so I retired from the Nassau County Police Department on Joe Biden's inauguration day. That was, I believe, a Thursday, and then Friday.
Was that intentional, by the way?
Oh, yes, it was. Yes, it was. I took an oath to uphold the Constitution.
All right.
When I saw that ending, so that was in January of 2021. And the next day, I had been working for about 6 months to set up when I would be starting. And there was an interview process, and thorough interview process, in which Ryan and Andy spoke to my people who recommended me, as well as Pastor Pete. Even to the point of interviewing my wife to make sure that I was, the family knew what we were getting into. That process started probably in the fall of 2020. And in January of 2021, I began the program. And I think a first class I took was Ryan, with your father. It was bereavement and grieving. So pastoring people through the bereavement process. And then shortly after that, things got real serious when Hebrews started, and I was reading from right to left with letters I had never seen before. But the process itself, the studies itself, I had my bachelor's, my undergrad, so I was not afraid of scholastic work. I found it to be very scholarly. I found it to be very challenging, and I found it to be quite equipping. I had a mentor pastor who I was involved with, and I had, because I had retired at that point from the police department, I was putting in full-time hours at the church. I was able to be at the church with Pastor Pete and to sit in on some of those things that Ryan spoke about, so to watch how he brings a couple through biblical counsel, premarital counseling, or bringing somebody through pastoral counseling, who is dealing with a life struggle, and to be invited in on those conversations, to as the program would develop and unfold, and I got the preaching class. I was given opportunities to preach at Harborview. I was given opportunities to teach, to be involved in leading the men's ministry or a life group, a study in my own home. And so it just became quite seamless as one of my professors was my pastor in a way, in that I could go to him, walk into his office and talk to him about what we were learning and in the school work part of the program, the academic part of the program. And so it was seamless, and it's something that we try to provide now with my pastoral apprentice. And I would also say that one other way that we saw growth, and in that we could say we have a couple churches now in New York, is that when we had my own ordination, Ryan flew out from South Dakota at our ordination council with five other pastors, one of whom you know very well, Rich Jensen.
Oh yeah,
from Hope Reformed Baptist. Yep,
and he's actually conducting the memorial service for my late brother Andy on September 6th.
That's right. That's right. That's when I'll see you next in the flesh, God willing. And so when we did the ordination, Ryan was able to say to these five other pastors who had grilled me for close to 3 hours, if you like what you saw here, this is how this man was prepared. And so I know Chris Coates, who's the lead pastor of Island Christian Church in Northport, now has two pastoral apprentices that are under him, and Harborview has one. So it grows in many ways, some simply by Google those searches, and others by us sharing this with other people. And in time, as I graduated and became the lead pastor, I decided I want to continue my education. I don't think we should ever stay stagnant. And I found a program called Forge Theological Seminary that gave me a third of my master's in theological studies credits from the TPA. So we have a seminary that I'll be getting my master's from that gave me a third of those credits from the TPA. So it's something that is being recognized by other programs. And I think that's important for our people to realize.
Okay, we have to go to our midway break right now. And when we come back, we'll have both of our guests give more details and take audience questions and so on. And please, if you know of young people desirous of entering into the ministry, or young men who have already just recently entered into the ministry, maybe they want to take advantage of this, please call them up or text them, however you communicate with them, and tell them to tune into our discussion today, ironsharpensironradio.com, no matter where they live in the world. And if you have questions, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. You may remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Atoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency, and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
Back together again.
Dwight here of Alpha and Omega Ministries, announcing that this September, I'm heading out to Pennsylvania to speak at two events that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen has lined up for me. On Thursday, September 18th at 11 a.m., I'm speaking to men in ministry leadership at Chris's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon at Church of the Living Christ in Louisville. Then, on Sunday, September 21st, at 1:30 p.m., I'm speaking at Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle on the theme, Can We Trust the Bible is the Authentic and Inerrant Word of God? I hope you can join Chris and me for both events. For more details on the free pastor's luncheon, visit ironsharpensironradio.com. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. For more details on Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, visit trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, I'll see you in September in Pennsylvania for these exciting events.
Welcome back. Before I return to our conversation with Ryan Franchuk and Jason Contino, I have some important reminders for you. Folks, if you really love this show and you don't want it to go off the air, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check from your post office to a physical mailing address, well, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event that you want to promote, whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email if you're interested in advertising to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Please keep in mind, as urgently as we need your financial support, I never want anybody to give their own church where they are a member less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a financial gift. Please never do that. And also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a gift. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, well, if you love the show, please share some of that money with us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, I want to remind you that if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful church, no matter where you live in the world, I have extensive lists spanning the entire globe of biblically faithful churches like the River Community Church in Del Rapids, South Dakota, and Harborview Christian Church in Port Jefferson, Long Island. And I've helped many people spanning the globe find churches in our audience that are biblically faithful, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. So if you are in that predicament, you do not have a church home that is biblically faithful, and you don't even know where to find one wherever you live, please send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Ryan Franchuk and Jason Contino on our conversation today about mentoring and preparing young men for pastoral ministry and church planting. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. We do have an anonymous listener who wants to know, what if you have a candidate, for instance, who is interested in pursuing pastoral ministry because others have told them that they see gifts in them suited for that purpose, but at the same time, they have nagging doubts about their giftedness in this area, Will your program help to either confirm that they are worthy of this calling or that they should look for another vocation in life? Let's start with Ryan.
I think the short answer is it might. We do admit students to the program that after going through the admissions process, which is, you know, you submit an application, we call your references, we talk to for your references and try to get to know you as best we can from a distance and have a Zoom interview with you and that sort of stuff. And we have admitted guys into the program that, aren't sure if vocational eldership, serving as a pastor, really is what God is calling them to do with their life, if they're in a place where maybe they feel like they've got some significant growth still that needs to happen in their life or maturity, and that sort of thing before they would, you know, go into pastoral ministry. We do sometimes. On a case by case basis, might admit such a man to the program with the expectation that the TPA is one able to do that because, like I said, flexibility is kind of the name of the game, and we can have that mindset. We ask a mentoring church, a mentoring pastor, to have that mindset toward the student. This man is seeking the Lord's face. He wants to really discern if that inward call that he senses perhaps to vocational ministry, if that really is going to have an external confirmation by a body of believers, by his local church, by his church family. So we ask the church and the mentor pastor to have that mindset, that stance, and to recognize that it might not pan out for him. He might not finish the program. He might get a year in and discover that he really doesn't like people that much, or doesn't maybe have the right temperament or the right gift, gifts or whatnot. And we've had a number of men. I think I counted. I was just counting this the other day. I think we have 19 men that have been part of the TPA. Who did not finish. You know, they DNF'd the program for a large variety of reasons, but a large percentage of those guys, we actually consider those successes because they discovered that vocational ministry really wasn't really something they were gifted, fitted, or called for. And instead of then pursuing that and to the detriment of the people that they're trying to serve in that way, or to their own detriment, or the tune of getting $40,000 or $50,000 in debt to do a master's degree at seminary or something like that, and then finding out that discerning that pastoral ministry isn't really the thing that they're supposed to be doing. Instead of that, they've been mentored, lovingly shepherded and cared for in a church, and have gotten a chance to explore those things in a so-called safe environment, a place that is going to help them kind of tease those things out and see. And so we have far more guys that have not finished the program than have graduated the program. And a lot of the time, most of the time, we consider that success and are grateful to the Lord that he's helped bring that kind of clarity. So that's the long answer. The short answer is it depends. We love to, for any new applicant to the program, we want to try to get to know them as best as possible as directors. We have five directors, of which I'm one, and Pastor Jason, who's on today too, is one. And then there are three other men too that serve as directors. And we really try to make sure that we do due diligence and get to know a guy as best we can from a distance most of the time, that is, and help see, is this really going to be a good fit for you or not? And so I like to think that we're fairly diligent that way.
Pastor Jason, why don't you give us some examples of what has occurred in your own relationships with the men you are mentoring?
Yeah, so as you go through these relationships, as you develop these relationships, you're seeing people in a whole different light. And just to jump back into that that last question, what Ryan says as far as making it's a win or it's a success, because as pastors, we're helping to people. If we're keeping people from going into ministry, if we're helping people recognize that they're not called to ministry, that also is helping congregations. But men who go into things like this and study these things, even if they don't finish, I guarantee you come out of it with a greater appreciation to be a better churchman in your congregation, to be a better deacon if you are, or if you're a deacon, or a better husband because of what you will have learned in the amount of time that you are in these studies. And so for myself, the pastoral apprentice that I have is a young man. He's the age of my younger son. He's 24 years old. He has a heart for his generation. And so at Harborview Christian Church, this young man, Jameson, is in charge of our young adult ministry. And he networks with other churches. He networks with other congregations on Long Island. And he teaches on Monday evenings a young adult ministry in which it's not just getting together and having coffee. He was preaching to them through the book of Ecclesiastes. I mean, find 20 or 30 young people in a secular place on Long Island who want to hear somebody exposit Ecclesiastes on a Monday night. And I guarantee you they're all growing in their faith because of this. And so he's just been such a blessing to Harborview and to me, because he could speak into a generation and into a group that maybe perhaps would be harder for me to speak into, or I get that opportunity on Sunday mornings, but he takes that opportunity on Monday evenings. And I do want to make some corrections. Ryan has said young men several times, and I began the program at the age of 48. So it's not just for young guys. It's for married men. I can't move to Louisville, Kentucky, or to some of these places, although there's a lot more online presence by a lot of these seminaries. But to have this available to me at a time in my life when my kids were grown, I was coming out of a career already. I was retiring, and I didn't want to be pulled out of the congregation where I already was an elder, but I'm able to stay in my congregation and now do that same thing with Jameson, where he's able to stay in the congregation. He's able to run a young adult ministry. He does not have to move and put himself tens of thousands of dollars in debt. And these men can find out if they like it or not while they are doing ministry and learning about the process as well.
Sorry about that. I had myself on mute. We have another anonymous listener. The anonymous listener says, I am fully aware that 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 tells us, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. My question is, how do we who have a problem with despising young people in ministry to get over this? And of course, I do not mean the more extreme understanding of despise, but when you distrust somebody much younger than you can have anything meaningful to teach you and guide you as an older Christian. Let's start with Ryan.
Yeah, I can see where that would be a difficult thing in a lot of people's lives to take that verse and apply it sort of retrospectively or whatever. And I can see even in my own life sometimes just hesitancy and a little bit of apprehension about young guys, being given ministry responsibilities or taking bigger and bigger roles in ministry. And so I kind of share a little bit of that, the sense of what that question is asking. And I think for me, what's helpful to remember is that the Lord is a sovereign God who, that, not one sparrow falls from the sky apart from his goodwill and his good pleasure. And so I don't have to, so to speak, kind of be an all-controlling mentor or dictator or something like that. That not everything has to go my way, I can trust because I know that the Lord loves his church more than I do, and that Jesus gave his own blood for his church. I can trust that he's going to see us safely through and in the hands of young people, and that everyone starts somewhere. And I remember being a young guy, and I was talking with Pastor Jason about this a little bit earlier, but I remember being a young guy as a college student, being mentored by, I wasn't in a formal ministry training program or anything, but I was mentored by my pastor when I was a student at North Dakota State University in Fargo, and my pastor Monty at Metropolitan Baptist Church there, he poured into me. He poured into my life. And I was just this young buck who, was kind of ready to spout off at the hip about lots of stuff. He just sort of gently, patiently, bore with me and was an advocate for me and, created, an apprenticeship, a ministry internship position for me, and, walked alongside me and gave me books to read and dialogued with me about them and helped me through tough discussions and tough conversations that needed to happen, and kind of peeled back the inner curtain a little bit into what church life was like, and talked with me about how he was navigating those things, and kind of let me enter into that. And I realized he took a huge risk in doing that, because he, the first year I was in college, I was a computer science major at NDSU, and the very first week that I showed up at church, I decided I'm going to church here. I was talking to Pastor Monty after service, my first service there, and he said, "What's your deal?" And I said, "Oh, I'm a computer science major at North Dakota State, but I really sense the call of God to ministry on my life. I really want to be a pastor. I want to pursue that when I'm when I'm done with college." And he said, "Well, why don't we just start meeting? Why don't we just start hanging out, and we can talk about life and ministry in theology?" And so we met almost every single Saturday after that for the next 5 years to do just that, to talk about life and ministry and theology. And he walked me through my cage stage Calvinism, so to speak, and helped me kind of come to grips with a lot of theology and story ministry stuff. He even let me preach that first year. When I was a first year college student, he'd never heard me speak before. It was maybe even a little bit irresponsible of him, honestly, but he took a chance. He went for it. He bugged me, cared about me. And, I can't tell you how that shaped me, that he would take that risk, that he would trust God, that God's got things. God's got the church. He's got these young guys. He's got my flock, and he trusted the Lord, and he let me swing and gave me a bat and let me swing. And, that just means the world. Pastor Monty's dead now. He's in glory. Between him and my own father, who was, like I said, a pastor my whole life, the mentorship I received from old guys, as a young man, was just incalculable. And so I would urge our questioner, to consider that maybe God has purposes for bringing up guys in our lives, young men in our lives too. And Jason's right, TPA isn't just for young bucks. We've got some guys that are in their 30s and 40s and 50s as well. Family management with lots of kids. We're excited, you know, over the moon with those guys. But maybe the Lord has young guys in your life for that reason, that you would be willing to risk a little bit and see what God does.
Yeah, one of my favorite preachers, as well as one of my dearest friends, the late Dr. Robert J. Cameron, who was at one time the pastor of Mount Carmel Church in Somerset, New Jersey, an Orthodox Presbyterian congregation. Brother Cameron was one of the very few black pastors in that denomination, and he did not pursue ministry until he was in his late 40s. He was the owner of a trucking company and decided to answer the call from God to enter into pastoral ministry. So I fully agree with you that entering the ministry is not exclusively for young bucks, as you've been saying. Now, Pastor Jason, although obviously the God-breathed words of 1 Timothy 4:12 are true, and those of us who are older folks need to take heed and examine our motives as to why we're having a difficulty, perhaps even submitting to a pastor who's a lot younger than us. At the same time, even as was revealed recently in a conversation that you and I have, there are occasions when we witness in younger folks that they are unfortunately, they're unfortunately guilty of things that may be more typical for folks in the younger generations than they would be in our generation. For instance, I remember you saying recently that a lot of the young men avoid confrontation, and they are kind of got their ostrich head in the sand and don't want to be upfront and honest about certain things. So as much as we have to obey Scripture as older people and not despise anyone because of their youth, especially when you are in a position when you're mentoring people, you've got to be very quick to be upfront and honest if you see things like this, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. It's a balancing act. Every profession is going to be passing on to a newer generation, the next generation, ways of doing things. And if you know, if you don't think that whether it's medical residencies with surgeons learning how to operate, or lawyers learning how to do law, or police officers who come in as rookies, you need to train up the people that are going to be replacing you and inheriting this. When it comes to ministry, for those asking these questions, the best thing for them to do is to be in prayer for these men. Be in prayer. And as we pray for people, as we pray for their maturity and for their growth, we're going to see that our hearts are going to be changed, right? It's like that with every issue that we pray about. But there is definitely a responsibility, and I take it very seriously. And I told my pastoral apprentice, I said, I raised my two sons, my sons who are your age, and I raised them to be solid men. One is a pastor down in North Carolina, and the other is in the Coast Guard, flying on helicopters as an aviation maintenance technician. And I said, my sons were different than their generation. So if I'm going to mentor you, I'm going to start treating you the way I treated my sons. And this young man sat in my office, looked me in the eye, and says, I so appreciate that. I so want that. And that's the heart of a man, I believe, that will one day be a great pastor, because he's looking to be trained up. He's looking to be raised up and to be educated and to be told the hard things. And there's not something that I don't tell him that I don't see an immediate response to. So I'm seeing a pastor's heart. I'm seeing a heart of a man who who certainly needs more life experience. But in that life experience, if God is going to be shaping him, then we better get out of the way and do our best job. If God's choosing him, right? If we believe in election, if we believe in God preordaining things, then just get out of the way and do your best job to raise up the next man. If we call ourselves Calvinists, we should be, we should be consistent in our Calvinism. Now train him.
Okay, we have Corey in Boynton Beach, Florida, who says, could both of you be more specific about signs that someone is qualified for the ministry and also not qualified? And for the latter, obviously, I'm not talking about things that are more obvious and scandalous when it comes to sinful behavior, but more subtle things that might be overlooked by many people, including the pastoral candidate himself. And I guess let's start with Ryan, and then we'll have Jason follow up on that for any additional signs that people should be looking for in churches and elder boards and so on.
Sure. You know, the kinds of things we're looking for when we're working through, admitting a student into the TPA are a lot of character things that correlate with the character qualities for elders, like in Titus and Timothy and those things. And those are the kinds of questions we ask of the references that are listed by an applicant to the program. So we want to know that this man, he genuinely knows the gospel and believes the gospel. He loves the Lord with all his heart, and he loves the scriptures, and he's committed to them. So, I mean, it's kind of basic level stuff, but we're also really looking for guys that, they have a certain, ethos about them, certain temperament that, accords with the seriousness of pastoral ministry, as well as the joy of it. Like John Piper talks about, you know, gravity and gladness both being key components of the church's worship and of preaching. And we're looking for men that kind of exemplify both those things, who have a real true sense of the reality of eternity, heaven, hell, eternal life, and the gospel and the exclusivity of Jesus, and the message of salvation, but also just a full-throated, deep-hearted love of God and of all that God has made, and a deep, deep satisfaction in those things. Now that's true for that. We obviously desire that for every believer. And so what is it in particular about, a guy that is wondering if he's led toward pastoral ministry? And a lot of that is, like what Charles Spurgeon said, there has to be an overwhelming desire for the work, a burning sense that I need to do this. I really desire to preach and teach the scriptures to the utmost of my ability. I desire to refute false doctrine and confound those who teach it. I desire to shepherd the flock that Christ bought with his own blood. I love people. I love Christ's church. I want to, like Paul said, I want to spend and be spent for souls. And so if there has to, like I said, there has to be some sort of a little bit of pathos there not just a little bit, but that there's a desire to do that work. And now a lot of times there's a guy that has that desire, and maybe you sense that the gifting just doesn't quite match, and that perhaps vocational eldership just isn't really the best way to live that out. But that said, we still want that to be true of course every believer, that they would be a full-throated, sincere, glad and serious member of the church and a Christian who loves the Lord and seeks to glorify him in every aspect of their life. So, but for guys specifically seeking pastoral ministry, there has to be an earnest desire to do that work, and there should be some aptitude to do it. It doesn't mean you have to come into the program, the TPA, say, already you know, having a good grip on exegesis, or already having thought through any finer points of homiletics or anything like that. But there should be some sort of natural aptitude, some sort of well-spokenness, a desire to study, an ability to study and read deeply, to concentrate for long periods of time, to work hard, to be able to deny yourself, to kind of jettison lesser pursuits in favor of greater, more important pursuits, and to manage time well, to manage you know, your family life and your ministry life and your personal life, all under the banner of discipleship of Jesus. So those are kinds of things that come to my mind when I'm hearing that question.
Pastor Jason, after I give an example of a negative sign that a particular church, which will remain unnamed, witnessed in a pastoral candidate that led them to the decision not to accept his application. And of course, you can add your own thoughts and signs regarding applicants for pastoral roles on your own after this. But I'd like your comments about what I was told by a certain church. There was an applicant that was brilliant and extremely gifted in oratory. He preached excellent messages that not only had rich biblical content, but homiletically were delivered in very captivating and just powerful ways. And there were a number of people in this church that were upset that the vote on this individual was negative. And the pastor of this church told me what the people who were unhappy about the negative vote were overlooking was something that I was keenly observing. And he said it was the way that the candidate interacted with people before and after he preached. And he said the man was aloof. He didn't ask questions of people that he was meeting. He didn't ask them how they were doing, didn't ask anything about their lives. And so this pastor, who obviously had a lot of weight with his congregation and they agreed with him in their negative vote, they concluded that this man may be ideally suited for a seminary professor, or, you know, a whole host of other roles and positions in life, but to be the shepherd of a flock at this point in his life, anyway, they did not believe that was one of them. So if you want to comment on that, and then if you want to bring up your own thoughts on other things, that's fine.
I think, what you're describing is exactly what you want to be looking for. It's not just a man's character goes so much deeper than his cerebral understanding of things. And anyone could study something and regurgitate, or not anyone can. Smart people can study something and regurgitate it to pass a test or to perform. But we're looking for pastors to have a pastoral heart, have a heart that's broken for what hurts God, for what breaks God's heart. We're looking for people to have a heart to feed the Christ's sheep, to serve their king, someone who's willing to wrestle with a passage before expositing it, who's willing to put in that time and to be shaped themselves, and to prayerfully approach God's throne, because they have been given that immense responsibility of feeding for and caring for his sheep. I mean, my goodness, and what a blessing that pastor was, and that congregation was able to pick up on that. In some of the interviews that we've done, I've heard that. And one time I heard it, someone said I'm able to get up and I'm able to perform when asked to speak publicly. What? This is why you're meant to become a pastor?
And he used the word perform.
Yeah, he used the word perform. And so the vote would have to be no, just like with that pastor. The vote would have to be no because you seem to misunderstand what this is all about. Thankfully, the Bible gives us in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus 1, it describes to us who these men are supposed to be: above reproach, faithful to a one-woman man, faithful to your wife, self-controlled, respectable, disciplined, not given to drunkenness or addiction, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome or quick-tempered, not a lover of money, not greedy, to be hospitable, to be a lover of what is good, upright, and holy, to manage your household well, to be obedient, have obedient, believing children. And what do you do? Are you able to teach? Are you able to hold firm, sound gospel? Are you not a recent convert? Do you have a good reputation with outsiders? And then that calling on your life, right? A inner desire and compulsion to serve, and that doing these other things. I think Spurgeon says, don't tell me you would have been a good merchant or you would have been a good lawyer, but you tried those things and you couldn't do those things. Tell me that you tried them and there was no way you could have done anything but become a minister. Don't come to me after you tried these other things and failed, but tell me that there was nothing else that was going to satisfy you. Do you have a gifting and a full fruitfulness to your spiritual gifts? Is there an affirmation by a church of believers, your elders, that they recognize this call and qualification on your life? Is there a willingness to serve, and not at all for selfish gain, but for the advancement of his kingdom?
All right, we have to go to our final break. And once again, if you have a question, you may submit it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. And if you have any intention to submit a question, do it now because we're rapidly running out of time. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism, titled Authentic Christianity, by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak.
We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Welcome back, and please don't forget, folks, that this program is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my longtime, very dear friend and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law. And that number is 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT. You could also visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please make sure you tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I also want to remind this Friday, August 1st, we are joined once again by Phil Johnson, the executive director of the late John MacArthur's media ministry, Grace to You, to pay tribute to a champion for truth in the 20th and 21st century. And we are going to also be joined by Dr. Doug McMasters, pastor of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island, who was the director of pastoral correspondence at one time for Grace to You. And we're also going to be joined by my co-host that day, my special co-host, my old friend, Pastor Jim Capo, who was once the pastor of Massapequa Church of God on Long Island. So please mark your calendars for this Friday, August 1st, for this tribute to the late John MacArthur. And we're now back, and we have Manny, who is located in Little Ferry, New Jersey. And Manny says, isn't the motives that is lying behind a person's desire to be a pastor as equally important as his gifts? For instance, some obviously want fame, they want accolades, they want compliments, or they want power. Yeah, that's a very good question. And I've even said on this program, and I was actually surprised that some of my fellow Reformed Baptist folks were uneasy with my statement. But I have said that I would prefer to join a church that had a shepherd who really cared about my soul and demonstrated that in vivid and loving and kind and compassionate ways, that was not in agreement with many of my key areas of belief in, as a Reformed Baptist. Then I would prefer joining a church like that if there were no Reformed Baptist church local to me where the shepherds demonstrated that kind of heart of a shepherd and perhaps were cold and guilty of authority abuse and so on. So I think that the listener's question has made a lot of sense, and we'll start with Ryan and then have Pastor Jason chime in on that as well.
Yeah, I do agree too. I think, you know, one of the things we try to make really clear with the Timothy Pastoral Apprenticeship for anybody who's interested in pursuing being a student or something like that is that at the very outset, we're trying to be upfront. Look, we're not an institution, and we don't grant a degree. We're not accredited. And there are a lot of churches that are looking for pastors that for them, having a pastor who's got a degree, got a master's from a recognized institution, that's going to be a really high value for them. And if you're trained in the TPA style, kind of this, you know, no nonsense sort of down home, grassroots sort of program, there's a good possibility that there are some congregations that are just aren't going to be really too interested in pursuing you to be the pastor. And if you're interested in the TPA, you just need to be aware of that at the outset. But if you don't really care, and you love God's people and you love the church and you have a desire to preach the gospel and to teach God's word to the utmost of your ability with all your strength and to labor kind of in the front lines of maybe a place that not too many people live or maybe not too many people think about even, but God's people are there and the lost are there and you want to go where the Lord sends you, then the TPA might be right for you. The motives
are huge. The motives are huge. I agree with that.
And Jason?
Yeah, I think if you're looking to pastor a mega church or pastor a church with multi-site videos, and I don't know how you do that. You saw a picture of my congregation from this past Father's Day. Every Father's Day we take a photograph, and Chris, I think you were surprised by the size of it. We have 62 members. If we get three digits on a Sunday, I'm ecstatic. But I've got my hands full. I've got me and my two elders and my four deacons. We'd have our hands full. And I'm not saying that other churches can't have different models. And perhaps, you know, for some of these bigger churches, God bless them and God bless the men who pastor there and minister there and the elders there. But I think something about a small program like this, a grassroots program, it weeds out some of that, in that if you're looking, the man that you described before, if he's brilliant, he rightfully should be teaching some aspect of ministry in a seminary somewhere. But to just get your hands dirty and to get involved in people's lives and to lead with your heart and to love them the way you should. And yes, continue to get educated, get as much education as you can, but don't let, you need a pastor's heart, and a pastor's heart is so rare and so important. And really, ultimately, I think it's close to everything when it comes to ministry. These are his sheep, and your heart better be broken for them, and you better fight for them, and you better keep the wolves at bay, and you better not let goats into membership and voting in your, you know, there's so much to that. And I just think the TPA, I think for, in my situation and for many men, I think it's a great opportunity to get yourself into ministry for the right reasons.
All right, great. I want each of you to have 30 seconds to provide for our listeners what you most want etched in their hearts and minds. And we'll start with you, Ryan.
I would just say, yeah, to churches, pastors out there that might be listening, that maybe have a desire. Oh, I've got men in my congregation that I would love to see trained up and could, God might have a call to them on their life for vocational ministry. And I'd love to be a part of shepherding them through that. I really resonate with kind of these theological distinctives of the TPA and kind of this, for lack of a better term, kind of punk rock spirit, you know, grassroots kind of deal. But love to talk. And for somebody who's listening that might wonder, am I called to shepherd Christ's flock? And is this a good opportunity for me? We'd love to talk to you and see, and no guarantees of anything, but we want to just find out where you're at, what God's doing in your life, and how, if the TPA might be a great fit for you.
And Pastor Jason, about 30 seconds, please.
So I might need Ryan's help here. I think the what we're asking of students, Chris, is for students to have just a little bit of skin in the game. Is it $150 we're asking for them a trimester, Ryan?
No, there's no amount stipulated.
Is your recommendation?
The program is free for students, accepting their expenses for books and stuff.
And how much for the church are we asking for?
I think it's we recommend $2,500 a year per active student in the program for a church. So that the congregation has skin in the game, so to speak.
Chris, it's so low, Chris. I don't even know what the numbers are, and I pay it every year. So I think this is something that, you know, it really is a reasonable thing. And as far as finances go, you can't beat it.
All right, we're out of time, and the website is thetpa.info. tpa.info. Thank you so much, Ryan and Jason, for being excellent guests today. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.